my cursory look, you know, a lot of the guys were there, Rizzo and Bryant and Madden and so on down the line. But that's not the big news out of Chicago today. And nor is Kyle Schwarber getting two hits and a couple ribbies in Des Moines last night for the Iowa Cubs. That was good to see.
Yep.
But it is Miguel Montero and his comments toward his pitcher, Jake Arrieta, last night in a 6-1 loss to the Washington Nationals, in which the Nationals stole seven bases, four by Trey Turner. And after the game, Montero essentially threw Arrieta under the bus and said he's got to hold runners better. Well, the Cubs promptly cut ties with Montero today and basically saying we can't have this. We can't have this in the clubhouse. We can't have you criticizing other players. Now, for my money, it's kind of a two-way street. Kyle, you played baseball. You know reading the pitcher is a big part of stealing bases.
Very
watching
much.
That front foot, the front shoulder, whatnot. And, you know, as good as a pitcher can be with a slide step and whatnot, we know Lester's problems in Chicago are well-documented, not holding runners that well at all. Arrieta, pretty much the same. But Miguel Montero hasn't thrown out a runner all year. Opponents are 31 for 31 against him.
He doesn't have a great arm.
Well, not so many years ago, he threw out runners at a 40% clip in Arizona. So is that 6-7 years on his arm? Or is it the pitching staffs of Arizona and Chicago? But I also look at Wilson Contreras, the other catcher for the Cubs, and he's throwing runners out at 36% clip.
Yeah.
For the same team.
Yep.
So
kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a two-way street, like you said. Maybe Montero's arm isn't as good as it once was. That much is for sure. But then, as much as it kind of pains me to say it because his presentation could have used a lot of work, the Cubs do. They're not. Like you just said, Lester, he's got his issues. Arrieta has been slow to the plate ever since, you know, he kind of burst onto the scene a couple years ago. That's been the scouting report on him, you know, for the last several years. And I kind of think that the Cubs kind of ran into a buzzsaw. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer were talking about on their broadcast last night, talking about how they had a series their last series was with the Miami Marlins and D. Gordon, and now they come and play Washington, and they've got Trey Turner. And so they've got struggles holding runners, but you go through D. Gordon and Trey Turner in back-to-back series, it's going to look a lot worse than it really is. But with that said, last night was really a bad performance, and then Montero's handling of it afterwards was really bad. And I totally agree with getting him off the team, because that's now kind of his second check mark. Because if you remember, after the World Series last year, it was Miguel Montero, the third-string catcher, who was complaining about not having gotten enough playing time in the World Series and throughout the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs just broke a 108-year streak, and I think it was just like 3 or 4 days later, he's complaining about having not played enough. And he was a fan favorite for most of the year. It was really shocking, and I think that was kind of our first glimpse into Miguel Montero's mentality as a player. And I think his comments yesterday talking about how, oh, you know, it sucks because the steals, they look bad on me. Like, there's a lot of me talk coming out of Montero since the end of last season. And I don't really think that he fits into that clubhouse as well as I thought he once did.
319-366-1600. That's your way to interact with us on the phone or the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. If you'd like to know more, go to jkainvest.com. Cubs going to bring up Victor Caratini from AAA Iowa. Caratini is a young prospect from Puerto Rico, acquired through the Atlanta Braves, a former second-round draft pick of Atlanta. All Caratini is doing right now is hitting .343 with 8 home runs, fourth in the Pacific Coast League in batting average.
Not bad numbers at all. It'll be nice to get a guy in there if he can I don't necessarily expect him to come right in and hit 340 in the majors, but that at least seems indicative of a guy who's consistently getting the bat on the ball, which the Cubs could use some of right about now.
6009, that's John on 380. Montero is a veteran, and this is the second time he has popped off to the media. Good riddance.
Yeah, that really is my attitude, because it's kind of, I'm conflicted, because last year he had his whole "we are good" slogan, maybe that was even 2 years ago, but he was a fun guy, just seemed like he had a lot of energy, he was always saying funny stuff, and then after the World Series, as John's alluding to, he makes the comments after the World Series, and we get this yesterday, and he actually pulled a stat out of his back pocket, which indicated to me he's been stewing about this for quite some time. He says, let's take a look at Salvador Perez, the best throwing pitcher in baseball.
Catcher,
called,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Best throwing catcher in baseball, he called him. And then Jason Hamill, who was a pitcher for the Cubs last year. So he's been keeping tabs on Jason Hamill and Salvador Perez. He pulls out of his back pocket, he says, Jason Hamill has had 10 bases stolen on him this year and only one caught stealing by the catcher. And so he's basically saying that entire Cubs rotation, even going back to last year, hasn't really paid attention to holding on runners. But the fact that he pulled out Jason Hamill and has been keeping tabs on him, that kind of indicated to me that he's been stewing about that for quite some time and has been ready to talk about it.
I understand heat-of-the-moment comments. It happens all the time. But Montero's a veteran, and he should know better. And this is not beating up on the Cubs. If he played for the Expos, I'd be saying the same thing. You need to keep your comments in-house, in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
If I was to pop off on the air or on social media about something you said or something Todd Brommelkamp did or something Alex Kuhn said, this would be my last show on KGYM. I'd be designated for assignment as well. You've got to keep things within the team. Handle it with Chris Bosio, the pitching coach, Joe Madden. Talk to Arrieta about it. Work it out. You know, accept responsibility that there were 7 stolen bases on your watch, whether it was the pitcher's fault or your fault. You don't go off, you know, airing dirty laundry in the media and creating a bad situation for your team and a bad atmosphere. You just don't.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of, to have a controversy like this with this Cubs organization, I kind of think about what we know as the Cardinal way. And I'm not going to pretend that the Cubs have some long-standing tradition of running a tight ship, but in this Madden era, there really haven't been a whole lot of in-the-clubhouse spats like that. And this is now kind of... The Addison Russell situation was obviously of a different nature, but this is now the second very public kind of scandal that the Cubs have had in a fairly short period of time, and I kind of wonder, as they struggle to kind of solidify themselves as just being an above 500 team right now, how many of these distractions are they kind of going to put up with, or how many are they going to be able to deal with?
Well, I applaud the Cubs for cutting ties.
Exactly.
Right away.
You just got to get rid of
that. You cannot have that situation, a catcher saying such things about your pitcher. True or not. True or not.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have it. 6960, I'm not a baseball guy here. Can you explain designated for assignment?
Yeah, I'll double check this after I present this. But as I understand it, you've been designated for assignment. It gives your ball club, I believe, 10 days, and you can either clear waivers, and then if you make it through waivers, you can either be sent down to the minors or you can be just cut. But it basically puts you on waivers for 10 days, and it's basically just saying, we're going to get rid of this guy, and if any of you guys want to claim him, you can have him, but he's not ours anymore.
He's removed from the 40-man roster. And then after that, as you said, the clubs can either return him to the 40-man roster within 10 days, as you mentioned, or do one of the following. Place Montero on waivers, trade him, release him, or outright him from the 40-man roster. So those are the options. You're not going to see Montero back on the Cubs bench.
No.
We're in the clubhouse.
Especially for a guy who has, you know, he's not starting every day, but especially for a guy who has been in the mix at least two or three times a week, to be designated for assignment is basically just get out of my clubhouse. Get off my team. We don't want you anymore.
Would you pick him up off waivers or entertain a trade for him?
Well, he still has an interesting skill set. And
depends on if your team has pitchers that are good at holding runners
exactly,
on, right?
Yeah, you might think he'd go to a team who doesn't give up a lot of stolen bases. But he does have an interesting skill set, but now kind of with what we've seen with him in the media, it gives you pause, but I'm sure he'll still get picked up.
He's 33. And, like, you know, if he's got a record of making comments like that about one of your star pitchers, I just don't know if I think you can do better. But what do you think out there? 319-366-1600. We're going to bring in John Cranton and get his views from Las Vegas on some of the big games here coming up next. Maybe a little bit about NFL opening game odds, teams' chances to win the Super Bowl in 2017. After this, on the Gym Class.
Magic happens at the John Deere Classic. Whether it's Steve Stricker's historic three-peat, Jordan Spieth's dramatic finishes, or Ryan Moore's 2016 win and subsequent Ryder Cup success, it's always a great show.
Oh, my goodness!
This year will be no different with more magic guaranteed. July 10th through the 16th. Visit JohnDeereClassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF for tickets and information. But hurry, the show starts soon.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You feel an overwhelming sense of calm in 3, 2, 1. Your home and auto insurance is bundled like a baby in a warm, buttered blanket. The money you save rains gently down upon you. In bills, not in coins, because that would probably hurt.
Worries drift away when you bundle home and auto insurance with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back to the show, 321. Coming up on 322, we're going to talk to John Cranton here in just a minute. I wanted to give Kyle Mann an opportunity to update us on afternoon baseball.
Yeah, the Colonels had a noon game today and coming off a 6-2 loss last night. They fell again today. Eduardo Del Rosario started that game for the Colonels and gave up 5 runs in just 5 1/3. And Burlington went on to win that one 5-2. They'll play again tomorrow at 6:30. We've got a couple pro games going on as well. The Phillies trail the Mariners 1-0 at the end of the second. And the Rockies lead the Giants in San Francisco in the bottom of the second.
All right, sounds good. Now, let me take this opportunity now to bring in John Cranton of Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas. And right off the top, we want to thank John for switching his normal Thursday appearance to Wednesday. Appreciate that, John.
Not a problem, gentlemen. Good to be on. And if it was any hotter in Vegas, I would be on the Planet Mercury.
Again?
Yeah, it's going to be like this till Labor Day when football starts. But, yeah, it's been unusual in that way, hitting 117, which is record. So get ready for some heat there.
You go on vacation soon. You can find some cooler climbs.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'll take a couple of weeks off in July, and it will be cool in the New England mountains. Send us back to Sweatville out here.
John, let's look at some Major League Baseball games today. The Cubs and Nationals getting together once again. Is there an over-under on stolen bases tonight?
Boy, that's a good one, yeah. Well, the over-under for the game is 8.5, and if you think it's going to be an offensive show with guys running free on the base pass, that may interest you. But, yeah, you know, we keep asking the same question each week, and that is, when are the defending champs going to turn a corner? And here they are, just one game over 500. The problem has been this offense, which is just in the middle of the pack. Pitching's been great all year. That's kind of keeping them afloat in all these games, top 7 in ERA. And they're going to have John Lackey going tonight, 38 years old. And, you know, he's got some poor numbers as far as ERA and wins and losses. However, when you look at the other numbers, he's actually had a pretty good season. He doesn't walk anybody as usual. He's got a lot of strikeouts. So he's been pretty good for a guy at his age. The thing is, this is a difficult situational spot. Seventh consecutive road game for the Cubbies, and they're playing a powerhouse Washington team. All right, Nationals only 4-5 the last 9 games. However, they've got it all. Top first in baseball and run score. They're third in on base percentage. They got a top 10 pitching staff. And the Cubs are going to see one of those ace pitchers tonight in Strasburg. 8-2 record. His numbers are just sizzling. 109 strikeouts in 95 innings. You know, the Cubs are so talented that they can beat anybody, and the money's come in on Washington up to -180 favorite. That's just too big to go against the defending champ. So I'm going to have to look at a defensive game. This park here in Washington is huge. You get two pitchers on the mound, one very good with control, the other one an ace. And the Cubs, with that offense being disappointing, 23-9 run under the Vegas total. Guys, they see this as a 3-2 final. Not much scoring tonight.
You're going to have the struggling Cardinals heading out to the Diamondbacks on the road. What are you expecting to see in that one?
Well, let's see what the money is here. It's kind of a cheap price here on the home team. Arizona open 135, now down to -125. Almost a pick'em game here with a total of 9.5. And it's difficult to see why this betting number is close to pick'em, because the Cardinals just not playing very good baseball here. A 5-9 run. The offense continues to get worse here, 24th in baseball and run score. They do have a top 8 pitching staff, however, facing a right-hander. Tonight they're 4-11 against righties. You're going to see the veteran Adam Wainwright, who's been, you know, he hasn't been that bad this season. He's had some good games and some real clunkers, which explains the ERA over 5. But, you know, this Arizona team is one of the best in baseball. They've really turned it around so quickly, a sizzling 13-2 run. Top 5 team as far as run scored, and their pitching is second in baseball in ERA, right behind those Dodgers. This team is not going to go away. It's really remarkable what they've done to turn things around in so short a time. And they got a great pitcher on the mound here tonight, and Zach Godley. This guy's a 2.53 ERA, very difficult to hit, and he strikes guys out. Team has won his last 5 starts, and here in Arizona, which is a tough park to pitch in, he's been sensational, 2.13 ERA at home. So I'm going to have to lean toward the home team here, because that's just too cheap a price for an Arizona team that is playing exceptionally good baseball and is home with the better pitcher tonight.
John, I think one game on the slate tonight really tough to figure out is the Yankees and the White Sox at Guaranteed Rate Field. Carlos Rodon making his first start for the Sox after being injured, opposing Masahiro Tanaka. How do you figure out what Rodon's going to do?
Well, you're right. It is a difficult game to figure out. And it's a game that we haven't seen a lot of Vegas money on either. It's opened Yankees -139, and it's about that right now. And the total has come down from 9.5 to 9. And, you know, you got a Yankee team that across the board has dominating numbers, top 5 in runs scored, on base percentage, homers, and even one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. And yet, they're on a 3-11 run. They can't win any games right now. They're stumbling these last 2 weeks. And then you got Tanaka on the mound. What are you going to get out of this guy? He's been, the former ace has been really erratic this season. He's off a 3-hitter against Texas, a nice 2-1 win, but we haven't seen that much this year. ERA almost 6 for the season. Basically, he's been terrible, and he's been worse on the road, 6.70 ERA away from home. And when the Yankees face teams with losing records, they're 1-10, so they're not doing much right at all. And then Chicago, the rebuilding White Sox, they play their best baseball at home where they're 16-16, and here they are on the roll as an underdog. But you just don't know what you're going to get out of Rodon tonight. You know, the only thing is that he's not going to pitch much, maybe 5 innings, so it's tough to go by him. I think the way to look at tonight's game is an offensive show, because Tanaka, he just hasn't had it at all on the road. It's just hard to believe that he's going to turn things around. And then you don't know what you're going to get out of the Chicago pitchers tonight. So I'll go with an offensive shootout. Either team could win, but look for a lot of runs, maybe a 6-5 final.
We're going to have a battle for Los Angeles in Anaheim tonight, with the red-hot Dodgers taking on the Angels, potentially overachieving Angels. What are you expecting to see in that one?
Yeah, you got the freeway series here. The teams have split the first 2 games, and they've been shutouts, too, by the winning team. And you got this Angels team that kind of undervalued. Everybody thought they'd fall off the map when they lost Mike Trout, and yet this pitching staff is top 10 in ERA. They've been able to win even without Trout, who's rehabbing soon and going to be coming back. They're on a nice 3-1 run, and they got Alex Meyer on the mound tonight, who has got some good stuff. But there's one thing that bothers me about Meyer, and that is free passes. You can't do that at the major league level. You can't walk guys, and he's been really erratic. 32 walks in 49 innings is a terrible ratio. He comes off a loss to Boston, 9-4, and he's a guy who's only going to give you five innings because of the walks and the number of pitches he throws. Fortunately, the Angel bullpen is decent, and the one thing about Meyer is he's really comfortable, a young pitcher at home, and that's common with young pitchers. He's undefeated at home with a 2.03 ERA. But boy, what a pass facing this Dodger team. Are they for real or what? A 17-3 run. They've got a powerhouse offensive team, top four in run scoring on base percentage, and they've got the DH tonight's game in addition to the number one pitcher staff. One of their weaker pitchers, though, is on the mound tonight in Ryu. Just a 3-6 record. It's not really that bad. He does have a high ERA, as he has been hittable. So the way I look at tonight's game is the total has actually come down to 8.5. The Dodgers are picking up the DH. They already have a great offense with them. And then you get some suspect starters. David Meyer walks too many guys. And Ryu on the road is 1-4, 4.45 ERA. Dodgers with that hot offense, 13-5, right over the total. That is the only way I'm going to look at tonight's game. Another high-scoring shootout, maybe 6-5.
Bottom of the hour here on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann visiting with John Cranton of Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas. Twins and Red Sox will have it here for you, 107.5 FM tonight at 7 o'clock, joined in progress. John, Twins are trying to patch together a pitching staff, really only have two solid starters. The others are really up and down. Last night, had to use a lot of guys out of the bullpen. Rick Porcello on the mound for the Red Sox, we know how capable he is, but he's been down this year too. So your thoughts?
Yeah, and the Vegas betting numbers coincide with what you're talking about. The total is 10. That's a high total for a baseball game. And Fenway Park is an offensive show. The money we've seen is coming on Boston here, minus 160 up to minus 180. But boy, how can you lay that price with Rick Porcello on the mound? You know, here's a guy who a year ago won the Cy Young and was terrific, and yet nothing has gone right for this guy. And that can happen with pitchers from year to year. That's why it's so difficult to just focus in on the starter and try and predict how they're going to do from year to year. You know, things change. Maybe the defense in the field behind that pitcher isn't as sharp as it was a year ago. Maybe there's a minor injury going on with a guy that you don't even know about or hear about, but that affects his delivery, maybe confidence. But it's clear Porcello's not the same guy as a year ago, and the answer is actually very obvious. A year ago, his sinker was sinking. This year, his out pitch, his sinker ball, simply isn't sinking, and that's a major concern for him. So here he is, a big favorite, and for the season at Fenway, 5.27 ERA, a losing record of 3-5. No way I can back the Red Sox with this guy on the mound at this price tonight. Meanwhile, you got the Twins. They're actually playing decent ball here, 5-3 run, and when you look at their run on the road, it's really remarkable, 21-8 run away from home, and we're going to be seeing Mejia tonight. He is the one question mark of the Twins tonight because he's a rookie, and we just talked about the other guy walking too many batters with young pitchers, and that's the concern with him. 27 walks in 45 innings. Yeah, that's common with young pitchers. You have to put them out there to try and, you know, learn the game, learn their craft, but he does allow too many free passes, and that's a concern against a Boston team that is extremely patient at the plate. They will gladly take walks and clog the bases, so I got to believe me, he is going to be going maybe five innings tonight, but that's okay because that's what he did against Cleveland the last game. Five innings, two hits, threw 104 pitches, but they got a nice victory, 5-0, which shows you how good this kid's stuff is, so he's certainly worth putting out there on the mound to learn his craft. And keep in mind that Minnesota on the road, when they face a right-handed starter, they've been sensational, 19-7 record. So I have to lean slightly toward Minnesota here at this price. And also, being Fenway, being two struggling pitchers, at least with walks and Porcello, why wouldn't this be one of those old-fashioned Fenway shootouts with guys hitting it off the green monster? Maybe a 8-10 double tonight. So I'll look at a 7-6 Fenway shootout, a high-scoring show, guys.
I'll take my chances with that one, John. Hey, as you know, football will be right around the corner, and you've given us not only some opening game odds, but odds to win the Super Bowl. Let me just read some of the Midwestern teams and their chances right now. By the way, New England at 17-5 to win the Super Bowl. The Cowboys 7-1. Green Bay at 10-1. Detroit 50-1. The Bears 80-1. The Vikings 30-1. As far as opening game odds, Kansas City has a 7-point dog on that Thursday night opener against New England. The Bears are a home dog to Atlanta, the Bears plus 6 there. Toss up between Arizona and Detroit in Detroit. Green Bay a 3-point favorite against Seattle, and Minnesota on Monday night a 3-point favorite over New Orleans. John, in general, are defenses expected to be ahead of the offenses in opening weeks, and therefore, is it smart to take the under?
Yeah, there's quite a few things going on with these opening lines, and that is there's not really a lot of action on it. There has been some movement, but what that means is it's the sharp guys who are looking at these week one NFL numbers and putting money on it, and that gives the odds makers a chance to reassess. But generally speaking, they've made very good numbers. You want to know which games have moved? The Bengals against the Ravens went from 1-2. So people like the sharp guys anyway, like the Bengals in that one. And then the Raiders-Titans game, we saw a shift in who's the favorite. The Raiders opened the favorite, but now Tennessee is a 1-point favorite. And the Bears game, you know, they're a big home underdog here, 6.5 to the Falcons. And I talked to some odds makers who always look at the underdog in week one, and one of his five plays actually are all dogs, and one of them is the Bears. And it's one of those things where you go against the Super Bowl loser. A lot of people think Super Bowl loser doesn't even make the playoffs. A lot of times they're good to fade in that week one. And think about what the Falcons had to endure. They come off that crushing loss, and now they're opening as a big road favorite, pretty much a touchdown favorite. And if you want to keep in perspective, remember the Seahawks losing the Super Bowl 3 years ago, a game they should have won against New England in that crushing fashion. Well, the following season in week one, they were also a road favorite. They were at the Rams, and they lost the game straight up, a 34-31 shootout. So a lot of the sharp guys are looking at things like that where Falcons aren't quite they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover. So they look at underdogs in week one, and the Bears would be getting some action from some people that I know, and that's part of the reason.
Two games I really am going to enjoy. I don't know if you could put any money on them. Is that Raider and Titan game that you mentioned? I think that's going to be a whale of a game. And then Seattle at Green Bay, and I think that's going to be a good one as well. Do you think the Cowboys at 7-1 are undervalued or overvalued?
That is definitely overvalued because they went with a rookie quarterback last year, had a lot of things go right, and the rookie running back, too. And yet, we saw another playoff flameout, which has been going on for quite some time. So they are a team to beat in the NFC East, but for the whole NFC to get the Super Bowl, come on, there's quite a few more teams that are, I think, better than them. And what they're doing is, that's a public team, like the Oakland Raiders used to be, like the Patriots and the Packers are in baseball, the Yankees and the Cubs. So when Vegas makes numbers on the Cowboys, they have to think that there are more Cowboy fans all over the country that love this team, and if they're in Vegas, they're going to put some money on Dallas. Therefore, they're going to have more money than they normally do on teams like that. And that's exactly what's going on there. That's too much of overvalue on the Dallas. They should be lower than that.
That Raiders-Titans line jumped out to me as well. I thought it was a little suspicious to only have the Raiders as a 1-point favorite, and you say that the Titans are actually now favored. The Raiders were a team who, a popular Super Bowl pick midway through the year last year. Are the Titans really getting that much respect out there in Vegas?
That would be the sharp guys, and yeah, well, like you looked at it and you said, well, wait a minute, the Raiders are going to tear up this weak defense. Yeah, and what it's the sharp guys who are looking at the situation here. It's a 3,000-mile road trip for Oakland all the way across the country. No matter what you think of teams like the Jets going to play the 49ers, something like it, maybe the 49ers are bad, but that road trip is very difficult on any professional sports team that has to be factored, and that's what these top guys are looking at with this one. And the Tennessee Titans, they played hard for the Colts last year, and they overachieved. And then you got a Raiders defense that is, they're not very good, and they're rebuilding. So all those factors coming together, some of the Vegas Sharps are looking at it and saying, Tennessee is undervalued here.
I think you can say the same for that Seattle-Green Bay game too, John.
Oh, that's going to be the marquee game of that week one. That's a fun one there. And that, yeah, rematch of the title game, NFC title game a couple of years ago, which was a shocker. And Green Bay only 3-point favorite. Yeah, I guess the question there is the Seattle defense still going to be number one, or are they going to start to show some age and some slipping?
All right, John, again, we appreciate you moving to today from tomorrow, and we'll look forward to your visit next week. But before that, tell us more about Jim Feist Sports, jimfeist.com, and if you have a free play, love to have it.
Sure, I like that Cubs-Washington game under the total tonight of 8.5. I think it'll be like a 3-2 or even a 2-1 game. If you want to get free plays from Vegas, if you want to get them right to your cell phone every day, it's very easy to do. You just text GAME, G-A-M-E, to 25827, and one of the Vegas free plays that we put up will pop up right on your cell phone, or you can check out jimfeist.com.
Excellent, John. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. We'll see you then, guys.
Very good. John Cranton from Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas. You can go to jimfeist.com, get Jim's opinions, John's opinions, and the opinions of everybody affiliated with that site. Right now, we want to give you an opportunity to win tickets to the 47th annual John Deere Classic. It returns to Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois, the week of July 10th through the 16th. The tournament, actually, the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. We're going to give you an opportunity to win 4 any-day tickets and a parking pass. See some of your favorite golf stars in action, including Cedar Rapidian and Zach Johnson. So right now, caller number 6, you're going to have an opportunity to go to the John Deere Classic.
GNC's got what you need to crush your goals with a summer savings event.
Now featuring Buy More, Save More, just pick your favorite sports performance brand, buy 2 and save 20%, or buy 3 and save 30%.
Ignite diet goals with CelluCore, Super HD Fire, blast through workouts with BPI BAM, unleash unrelenting energy with Performix Super Male T V2X, and take NO for an answer with Force Factor Volcano.
Hustle into your GNC or visit GNC.com. Sale ends July 5th. Change begins at GNC.
Decking, railing, lighting, furniture, fencing, framing. At Trex, we make the most in outdoor living because you deserve to get more from your life outdoors. So why not start bringing your ideas to life now with the brand that's engineering what's next? To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, or to find a local retailer or a certified Trex Pro deck builder near you, visit Trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
Mary, you're glowing gold.
I know, I joined the Fuel Rewards program and got rewarded with instant gold status at Shell.
And now your body radiates gold?
Yes, and I save 5 cents a gallon on every fill every day.
5 cents a gallon? Wow.
And gold is all the rage this season.
Oh, yeah.
Get rewarded with instant gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. It's free to join, so join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
The Gym Class in the Gym, KGYM, Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back, 3:42 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann alongside today. Scott Unash will be back in the pilot's chair tomorrow. Looking forward to his return. Despite Kyle, it's been an enjoyable 3 days with you.
I'm going to miss you, Mark.
Well, you're going to be on the other side of the glass. You're not going to be too far away.
I know. I like to be close to you, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I am soaking in your wisdom.
Wow. Got a little creepy there for a minute, but
yeah, I mean, it's whatever.
We have winners of the John Deere tickets, right?
Yeah, we sure do. That's going to be going to Mark from Durant, Iowa.
Excellent. And not too far away from Durant, actually, Silvis, Illinois. So, Mark, hope you enjoy the tickets. One more opportunity to win John Deere Classic tickets tomorrow and Friday on the Gym Class. Again, Twins baseball tonight, 7 o'clock. Joined in progress, game 3 of the 4-game set against the Boston Red Sox. That following the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle, do you want to update us on baseball? We talked about the Colonels' loss in the day game today against Burlington.
Yep, the Colonels lost 5-2 earlier today. Eduardo Del Rosario started and gave up 5 runs pretty early, and that's really all that the Bees needed against a slow Colonels offense today. The Phillies and Mariners are in action there in Seattle, and the Phillies actually lead 3-1 in the bottom of the third, and the Rockies are still leading the Giants 2-0 in the bottom of the third.
We opened the program with a discussion about Miguel Montero and him being designated for assignment by the Chicago Cubs. I would guess likely released in the end, but I could be wrong about that. In the meantime, Victor Caratini coming up from AAA Iowa. He has been hitting .343 through 60-some games for the iCubs, 8 home runs, and he will back up Wilson Contreras, presumably, behind the plate for the Cubs. So I think generally speaking, I don't know that anybody is really upset with Montero, the action taken by the Cubs against Montero.
Yeah.
I think everybody realizes that, once again, you just don't throw teammates under the bus publicly like that. If you have an issue, I don't know that it's even unwritten rule of baseball. It's just common sense. Whether it's in business or a professional sports team, what have you, you need to, whether Montero's right or not, he needs to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, it's really weird. I had seen just a tweet about Miguel Montero puts Jake Arrieta on blast. But, what does that even mean? And then I hear that soundbite, and it kind of sinks in, and you're like, wow, you don't really hear guys talk like that about their teammates very often. He really put Arrieta right out there and basically said, that guy's not giving me a chance, it's Arrieta's fault, and it's a pattern with our entire pitching staff. So pretty much go ahead, throw everybody under the bus there, and it sticks out like a sore thumb. You hear it, and you you don't do that, and you understand why he was designated for assignment the day after.
Montero issuing a string of tweets, basically thanking the Cubs, the Cub fans, the Cub players for creating a lot of memories for him. I don't think he apologized. In fact, today he said that some people can't take the truth.
He doubled down.
In that comment, he basically doubled down.
Wow.
Jed Hoyer, front office exec for the Cubs, said this about Montero via Kerry Muscat, who covers the team for the Cubs. Hoyer said, "We felt the things he said were against what we want to accomplish."
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
Yep. And it is kind of tough because for most of his time with the Cubs, he had been a really likable. You know, we don't know these guys as people, but as much as we knew about him as a player and just as his presence in the clubhouse, the most that we knew about him, he was just a fun going guy. You know, just kind of there, creating a good environment, and then he just goes out and does that. It's totally out of left field.
Do you think if Montero would have awakened this morning and issued a public apology, called Arrieta, called Madden, said, listen, what I said, I shouldn't have said publicly. I don't really want to tear apart the team. I don't want to drive a wedge between me and the pitching staff. I totally apologize. I think the Cubs would have kept him still.
I mean, it would have been a better look than if he, you know, didn't apologize at all, kind of like he has done. But the damage really was done last night. As soon as those words started coming out of his mouth and it started making the rounds on media, because what that actually creates now is that the Cubs have been struggling, but that's mostly just been on the field. This is now a sort of incident where you look at the club and you say, they've got that cloud hanging over them. How are they ever going to find their groove with that cloud going on? They've got turmoil in the clubhouse. And that's just, you're trying to repeat as World Series champions, and you're struggling to get over .500. The damage was done. You just can't really be doing that, especially not at this time. So, no, I'm pretty, I feel like as soon as he started saying that as explicitly as he did, he was done.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think I portray this as the Cubs have a huge problem in the clubhouse. Quite the contrary, I think with Joe Maddon keeping things pretty light,
yeah,
in the clubhouse, and as far as I know, a lot of good guys in the clubhouse that are battling through this kind of average start to the season. And really, you know, there hasn't been, and this is one instance, as far as I know, that Montero just shouldn't have opened his mouth. 5123 on the text line, he's Monterrible. 0363, ESPN wrote a story about the Cubs catcher being designated today. There was a portion in it where he did say he had talked to Arrieta and apologized, and he was fine with it. But yeah, this guy definitely deserves not to be with that organization. I have not seen that story. Take your word for it. And I guess it wouldn't surprise me that Montero would reach out to Arrieta.
Something I haven't seen that article either, but something about that, if that's true, and he did actually say something to Arrieta and apologize to some extent, that almost sits even worse with me. If he comes out this morning and makes the comment, "Oh, some people can't handle the truth," did you apologize to Arrieta, or are you going to go flaming behind his back to the media again?
Mm-hmm.
So if he did go apologize to Arrieta, and then he made that comment, I almost wish he didn't apologize.
What's David Ross doing?
Dancing.
He's dancing, boy.
Got his dancing shoes on.
You're not throwing anybody under the bus there. Hey, let's get to our last break of the show, and we'll come back to wrap it up here on the Gym Class.
Dupaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers Dupaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, Dupaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at dupaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use Dupaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Hit your stride early morning or slice into the afternoon at the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Courses. Special rates will make your game an even better value. You'll find early bird and twilight rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com. Enjoy the country setting of Gardner, the easygoing nature of Jones, the bustle and activity of Twin Pines, or the rolling hills of Ellis. Find early bird and after 2 p.m. twilight rates for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Two guys who may have faces made for radio, Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back, 3:53 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann bringing you down the home stretch here on the Gym Class. Typically, either the Gym Class or the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and many others in the building here are out serving lunch during the noon hour as part of our Lunchbox Heroes program. We're off today. We'll be back in July for that. Looking forward to going to more sites in the quarter. Again, tonight, Twins baseball at 7 o'clock, joined in progress against the Boston Red Sox. Tomorrow on the show, Scott Unash returns. I, Rick Swan, and Brian Haas will bring you KGYM's golf show, Caddy Smack. Looking forward to that. and then concluding the week on Friday with one of our topics. Kyle, you've got updated news on the Chris Paul situation.
Yeah, I saw an interesting development pretty much since the season ended and even a little bit extending into mid-season last year. We had kind of started to hear that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, their respective relationships with the Clippers had been kind of fractured. And now that this trade hasn't gone down yet, but has been agreed upon, we're starting to get some of the details with that. And Chris Paul apparently developed a real sense of resentment towards Doc Rivers, who plays the role of coach and GM with that team. And if you recall, he made a very suspicious trade shortly after landing that position to trade for his son, Austin Rivers, giving up, if I remember correctly, more than I thought he should have. And apparently Chris Paul and other teammates got the feeling that Doc treated Austin favorably, as you might be able to predict. Mm. And that kind of just got me wondering. That seems very out of place, like a real nepotism situation in professional sports. And I haven't been around that long, and I'm just curious, can you recall a time where something like that has actually come up, nepotism in the professional sports workplace?
You know, I can't offhand, and I think typically when you find those situations, the player is really, really good. You know, I think when the Griffies were together in Seattle, and Junior is good. And I can't think of any other situations really offhand that it really became an issue.
It would have to be the perfect scenario where you've got, you know, presumably an older one who has authority to bring the younger one in. So it seems like the perfect storm. But I remember when that trade went down, thinking about how suspicious that was, that Doc Rivers' first order of business is to go out of his way to get his son on the team, who at the time was not serviceable at all.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't that good. And that it seems strange to me.
Well, you find it all the time in youth sports. You got a coach and bats his son fourth when he ought to be batting ninth.
Yep.
We've all seen that.
Yeah, we've seen it on the lower level pretty often, to be frank.
Poll question at KGYMradio.com has to do with that trade that took Chris Paul to Houston. Is Houston now a legitimate challenger to Golden State in the Western Conference? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, behind the Taco John's and next to Home Depot.
I really don't think that they are. Like I said earlier, they kind of loaded up on kind of two of the same type of player who are both going to need to dominate the ball to be at their best. And then that only takes care of the two smallest positions on the court. You know, you've still got, they don't have a great big, they don't have a great defender. They have a lot of holes on that team still, and they can have as much fun as they want talking about, we've got James Harden, we traded for Chris Paul, maybe we'll trade for Melo too. They can have fun with that, but that roster is not well-rounded right now.
In terms of nepotism in professional sports, a couple comments on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. 0978, how about the Ripkins? There were no issues there. Like I said, usually the players are really good.
Yeah.
And cause no resentment. 4884, don't baseball teams draft quote-unquote family in the later rounds? Cubs with Bob Brenly's son come to mind. Well, how about Tommy Lasorda and his, was it godson Mike Piazza? You know, took him in like a 60-some round. Piazza became a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
That worked out fine. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us on the Gym Class. We'll be back tomorrow with Caddy Smack.
Just announced, during the Ford Summer Sales Event, get 0% financing for 72 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on vehicles like Ford Focus, Fusion, Escape, and Edge. Offer ends July 5th. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, and save big across a full lineup of Ford vehicles. Get 0% financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry in to the summer sales event.